This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Geek. The only way to be on Sci-Fi and Tweet. Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, and you are with Sonia, Mitch, Emma, and Guess. Hello,
and
Sonia.
Guess, hello. What's happening tonight? Animals that behave badly. It's a category of an evening.
You need to scream, gory.
Gory, category. Right. And of course, in the studio, we've also got two of the people, the significant people who are part of the Oz HorrorCon convention coming very soon. And we've got Steve Dillon. Welcome.
Hello, Sonia. Welcome to me and welcome to you, and good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you this time live.
Yes.
I was dead last time. You were a podcast, a mere podcast.
I wasn't even here, was I?
It is a horror show, yeah, so he's alive this time.
Alive.
Yes, very throaty. Now, we've also got Leslie Simpson. Welcome to the first time to Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Hello.
Good. Yes. Right, so it's quite an evening. Quite an evening, Mitch.
Pleased to meet you both as well.
Hooray!
So, Steve Dillon, what is your role at Oz HorrorCon this year? It's the first one of its kind.
Yeah, we had a mini convention back in October, as you probably recall. This one's significantly larger. And as you said before, the venue is completely different. It's very atmospheric. Down in the cellars, old wine cellars, it was a nunnery. It's now being taken over by us. It's got to be very, very creepy with zombies and things
hiding
in corners.
Any nun ghosts?
I dare say people would come as nuns.
As ghosts.
Perhaps you should make that as one of the rules, an undead nun. And we've got guests, of course, and all kinds of craziness going on, and games and fun and DVDs.
You got some fabulous
too much to remember.
That's right.
It's all online, of course.
Of course. Yeah. And Leslie is one of the guests.
Leslie is one of our key speakers here.
And why is that, of course?
Because he's gorgeous. But besides that...
It is true. I am gorgeous, yes.
We'll let Leslie speak. Tell us about why you're involved in Oz HorrorCon.
I guess because I've acted in a couple of rather major horror films.
Oh, yeah. Just a couple.
One of which has widely been considered the best horror film of the last 10 years. And the other one was also in the running for that particular title, Dog Soldiers and the Descent.
Oh, I love Dog Soldiers.
Yes, that's they, among other things, are my claim to fame, but that's the reason why I'm at Oz HorrorCon.
Now, The Descent, you were one of the crawlers in that.
That's correct.
Can you describe what a crawler is? I mean, if no one's seen the film, there's a group of films
now.
You
can go see it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I would suggest people. But don't watch it alone. It is a very, very, very scary film.
Watch it with somebody who's very nervous. That could be fun.
The character that I play in it is a naked Neanderthal cannibal, cold-blooded cannibal, subterranean thingy.
That's great because you're naked and you eat men.
That's actually quite true.
Yeah. A good summary there, yeah.
In case people are visualizing something like Gollum at this point, he's nothing like Gollum.
No. Although I'm the
Gollum's
same colour.
Gollum's quite delicate and friendly.
Well, actually, we are similarly very, very sweet. It's actually quite true. It's one of the conventions of the film which actually makes it scarier, and that is the fact that we are the ones that are being attacked.
Because it's your territory.
It's our territory. Yeah. It's our home, and these humans come into our territory unwittingly, of course. And being cold-blooded, we're actually not very good fighters. Because for anybody who's seen the film, you know that we don't tend to last very long. And in that particular film, I was killed 5 times, I believe.
It just sounds like a really funny movie. Like those humans came to my territory, and I couldn't really fight them. But I did eat them.
It sounds like colonialism, in some cultures.
Well, it was
like Avatar, but not as friendly.
It's a love story.
In some ways, there are elements of the slaughter of the Native Americans and probably the Aborigines
Australia.
In Australia, that's correct. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, and I think that was one of the contexts that were behind it. As we developed the characters, we wanted to make them empathetic, but actually, they weren't. You know, they were never perceived like that. In fact, which is a story I always tell, after the premiere, I was actually bopped on the nose by one of the punters who went along to see it because we scared them so much. Yes.
I would have thought horror would be more cathartic and they would not express themselves like that.
Not this particular film.
Oh. That's what we like to tell everybody, isn't it? So, don't tell anyone.
No, it is a genuinely terrifying film. Most horror films, and Dog Soldiers is one of the most horror films these days, are actually quite good fun.
You can't be that scary naked.
And sparkly.
Oh, you can't.
I know, yeah.
I would scare you.
You get bopped on
the nose. I am terrifying.
Horrible, yeah.
I am terrifying. I scare everybody.
Will you be terrifying people at Oz HorrorCon?
Will I be naked, do you mean? Is that what you're saying?
I wasn't going to
say
that,
you never know. That might be one of the prizes.
Did you read your contract?
There is an auction, so maybe.
Ooh,
yeah. Les naked is the auction prize.
That would not be an auction prize.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hello, I'm John Richards, the co-creator and writer of the best gay and lesbian science fiction themed comedy you will see all year, Outland, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream.
Yes, this is indeed Sci-Fi and Scream.
And that track was The Ramones, Pet Sematary.
Yeah.
And now we played that song and the previous song, which was Jebediah.
Jebediah with Animal.
Animal, which was at the start of the show. And because we are talking about animals in
animals
film,
that behave
like horror,
really badly. Yeah,
that's a good way. Animals that behave badly film.
Have you had Cujo yet?
Well, we haven't mentioned anything yet.
Oh, right. Am I not supposed to?
Jumping the gun.
Well,
you just mentioned Pet Sematary, so that's good.
Yeah, Pet Sematary.
Yeah, that's true.
Long Weekend. Couple of Aussie films.
Really?
Razorback. Long Weekend.
Oh, Razorback.
You spoke about
people can't see who you're pointing to. We're on the radio.
Emma.
And you were there, and you were there, and you were there.
And you were there, and I like you.
He's pointing at the people outside.
Long Weekend, remade, both times about nature. There was birds, there was all sorts, all attacking.
There were snakes, and it was all a sign of just how nature's trying to kill us all.
So you should begin with Aussie ones. Razorback,
right.
Skippy. Sorry, that is...
Skippy.
Many
Skippies did, unfortunately, meet a demise. Oh, The Reef is a good one. Yeah. And
Rogue
with the big crocodile.
Bunyip. Aaron Stearns is actually coming. He mentioned Rogue. Oh. So Aaron Stearns is going to be coming. He's doing Wolf
Coming
Creek
to too. The Oz HorrorCon?
Yes.
Oz HorrorCon.
Cool.
Yes.
Don't forget the name of that, Oz HorrorCon.
Oz HorrorCon.
Yeah.
That's right, Steve.
Where is it, Steve?
It's at Donkey Wheel House at the bottom of Burke Street by Southern Cross. And it's in the cellars.
Well, there's an animal for you. Donkey Wheel House.
There you go. Donkeys. We'll have loads
sure
of donkeys.
What animal that is. But all right. So animals that do behave badly. Cujo was one that we mentioned. That's a favourite. I think Stephen King has got a thing about animals. Definitely. We've got Cujo, Cat's Eye that we mentioned on Facebook.
Stephen King, did he also do Pet Sematary?
Yes,
he did.
Pet Sematary, by Stephen King.
The Stand, there's the zombie dog in there.
So what's Cujo about? Explain it to me.
Well, Cujo's a lovely St. Bernard that becomes rabid. Nobody is safe in Maine, in this particular township in Maine, because it's the lovely family dog, but things go terribly wrong when it decides to attack the hand that feeds it. It's got Dee Wallace, and of course Dee Wallace has also been in a couple of other Stephen King films. She's a bit of a regular in the 80s. So Cujo, of course, was in 1983. The Howling is brilliant. She's good in that.
That sounds good. Well, Pet Sematary, for anyone listening, is about a cursed kind of graveyard next to a pet cemetery, and then if you accidentally bury your pet in the wrong area, it will come back and attack. And then they just try and bring people back to life. And so it's kind of a zombie film in a way, but they're kind of conscious of what's going on.
The zombie animals, you mean?
Yeah, the zombie animals and the zombie people.
This Night of the Creeps fantastic 80s schlock movie with the immortal line, Night of the Living Dead Cat. There's another cat. Where a cat comes back to life.
There's a lot of cats. Spooky. We've got cat some people? cat people? Trailers, yeah. Actually.
We do.
Chuck your woman.
The Uncanny is a good one. And The Uncanny was from the mid-70s, 1977, about how felines are really out to get us.
Yeah.
They're out to get their humans.
American Werewolf in London. The cat outside the window when he tries to get in.
Yeah, because the cat notices.
H.P. Lovecraft wrote a story called The Cats of Ulthar. That's well worth reading if you don't like
some
cats.
Some good American Gothic horror.
Oh, awesome.
Edgar Allan Poe wrote
as well. Yes, that's right.
So this
and
is
the raven.
The Cat and the Canary. That's great. That's Bob Hope. That's a lovely one. Although this there's no cats or canaries in it.
Is the Uncanny trailer from 1977.
There is no shortage of monsters to haunt our dreams, like the creature from the Black Lagoon, deadly aliens from outer space, giant ants, man-eating sharks, and bloodthirsty grizzly bears. But the most fiendish, the most fascinating, the most terrifying creature of all may be waiting for you round the next corner, or living right in your own home.
People used to believe a cat was the devil in disguise. I'm beginning to think they were right.
I just don't feel scared.
I will show you what terror means.
There are millions of them everywhere, spying on us, watching. Will they pounce?
Will they pounce?
I just don't feel scared.
Okay, well, that's on The Uncanny, of course. Not very uncanny at all, really, but a British horror film, of course, from the 70s. Now, it had the wonderful Peter Cushing. You might have recognised his voice, and those creepy cats are trying to get us. But before we go more into more horror with animals in it who like to bite, we do need to say farewell to Leslie Simpson.
Bye.
Now, Leslie is a performer, an actor.
That's correct.
He's been in The Descent, Dog Soldiers, and you can see him, visit
and
him.
And Crawl Space, which is a new Aussie sci-fi horror that's it's currently out in the States, and it will be here very soon.
When will it be out here?
Well, it's already played the festival circuit here, so just keep your eye out for it.
Yeah,
it will be.
I hope it does get a wider release.
Well, it should do.
It's Australian, it ought to.
Yeah. But yes, that was the latest one I've done. May I also make a plug for a stage play I'm doing?
We don't plug, but you can mention Closer, I think.
Closer.
It is.
Yes. It's a play. It's a comedy, dark comedy play, and it's essentially about infidelity. Most people may remember the film, and because it's about infidelity, we thought we'd open it on Valentine's night.
Perfect. Friday
it's
the 14th.
It's the perfect anti-date play.
Oh, I love
basically that.
So all the singles will go there.
Take your future ex.
And it'll be running for 3 weeks at Chapel of Chapel.
Cool. Thank you so much, Leslie. We look forward to seeing you at Oz HorrorCon doing some crawling around, hopefully.
Yeah.
Shaved, even, perhaps.
That's a shaving possibility.
Shaving.
Or getting my head bitten off.
We're going to have great fun with Les, don't worry. We're not just going to sit there and look at him. We're going to...
You're going to make him work for it.
We're going to make him work and
set him on fire.
And interact.
Race guys are going to clear up. I'm a song
there you go. You see, you just have to wind
put
him up.
Put on a happy face.
Point him in the right direction and off he goes.
Now, Steve, tell us how people can find out more about Oz HorrorCon, the website. Where can they go?
Mm-hmm. OzHorrorCon.com.
Excellent. And you've got PJ Souls.
We've got PJ Souls coming over. She's was in Halloween and Carrie and Stripes and Private Benjamin and tons of stuff. Fantastic. Everybody loves her. We've got Shane Bryant, who you mentioned Peter Cushing before. He worked with Peter Cushing in Frankenstein and the Monster.
And he was in Captain Kronos.
He was Captain Kronos, Vampire Hunter. Yeah, he was in that.
Dorian,
of course,
picture
Dorian
Gray.
The Hammer one. Classical.
Hammer horrors.
Old school Hammer horrors.
Fantastic.
And right through to modern day, he's now an author, so he's made that transition from movies to writing books. And it's up close and personal. You can speak to these people. And Aaron Stearns from Wolf Creek. And the director of Patrick, Mark Hartley, is going to be interviewing PJ Souls for us. So,
Wow.
Telepathically
interview. If you know Patrick, you know what I mean.
No, for real this time. He's going to be. He's not going to be in a bed or like.
No.
He's,
he's going to be alive and kicking.
We got graphic novelists and we got horror writers and we got cartoonists, and we've got zombies galore. We got
everything. Yeah.
And if you don't know Patrick, you'll soon find out what she's talking about.
Yes.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, they're going to break out into song again.
Right. Is there a zombie cat in Patrick?
Oh, I don't know.
No, I don't think there is.
Aren't any animals in Patrick.
No, there's none. There's just, one person who's mute.
Yeah. Mm. So it's actually a good film, though.
Yeah, lovely.
This is the remake.
I've never seen the remake.
Mark Hartley is the director of the remake.
Yeah.
And in Australia as well, so they've kept the...
Yes.
Keeping it alive.
Yeah.
Literally.
Keeping it real. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for coming in, guys. Leslie Simpson,
all.
Steve Dillon, Oz Horrorcon this week.
See you at Oz Horrorcon.
See you there.
See everybody. Ow.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of, and we dream such frightening things. Sci-fi and Scream. Be afraid. Be very afraid. On Joy 94.9.
Science Fiction News. Hey, sci-fi and squeamers, it's Dr. M here again with the latest in science fiction and fantasy news. Now, for those of you playing along at home, you'll remember that sometime near the beginning of December last year, I brought you a story about a petition posted to the White House website seeking the construction of a Death Star for the purposes of national defense and job creation. Well, not only did the petition get the necessary 25,000 signatures to warrant a response, but it gained a total of just over 34,000 signatures. And a few days ago, the White House made an official response. In this response by Chief of Science and Space Branch at the White House, Paul Shawcross, titled "This Isn't the Petition Response You're Looking For," Shawcross respectfully explained that the construction of a Death Star is not on the horizon for America because, I quote, "the administration does not support blowing up planets." That's probably good to know. The author also asked why the government would spend countless taxpayer dollars on a Death Star with a fundamental flaw that can be exploited by a one-man starship. Why indeed? However, Shawcross did encourage citizens to pursue a career in either science, technology, engineering, or a math-related field so that they can, I quote, "become strong with the Force." So it's nice to see that the Obama administration still has its finger on the pop culture pulse of the nation. A group of young filmmakers have created a full-length, shot-by-shot, live-action Toy Story remake. Now, this one was making the rounds on social media all day yesterday, and for good reason. The filmmakers, Jonathan Pauley and Jesse Perotta, used human actors and real toys for their remake, and they animated the characters using stop-motion photography and just good old-fashioned puppets and wires. I have to say, it's pretty impressive, so if you have an hour and a half to spare over the weekend, then it's well worth checking out, and it's available on YouTube, so you can just watch it online. Now, A&E has ramped up its promotional campaign for a new television series based on the character Norman Bates from Psycho, with a new series of teaser videos, which each capture really a delicious sense of dread and terror from selected scenes from the new TV series. The new series, titled Bates Motel, is due to air in the US in March this year, and it stars Freddie Highmore as Norman Bates and Vera Farmiga as his mother, Norma Bates. In a behind-the-scenes video, the crew working on the series claimed that this is not a reimagining or an adaptation of Psycho, but rather they're taking the characters and using them as an inspiration for an original series set in a contemporary small town, which means that Norman Bates is in high school and he now has a mobile phone. And the town looks beautiful on the outside, but hides some dark and malevolent secrets underneath, including, of course, sex, violence and incest. From what we see of Highmore in the trailers, he does a remarkable job of mimicking the mild-mannered yet sinister Norman Bates that we know from Psycho. And there are definitely hints of a disturbed and, I'll say, unnatural relationship with his protective mother. So look out for that one in March. It could be the next American Horror Story. ABC's entertainment president Paul Lee has stated that the network is taking a long, hard, serious look at the idea of doing a long-awaited Star Wars live-action TV show. According to Lee, now that the Disney acquisition is finally closed, they can start talks with Lucasfilm about getting the long-rumored series started. In 2011, Lucas announced that 50 scripts had already been written for the series, which has tentatively been titled Star Wars Underworld. The series apparently would take place between episodes 3 and 4, and it would revolve around a group of underground bosses who control drugs and prostitution rings in one of the biggest cities in the galaxy. It's still unclear whether Lucasfilm will overcome the financial hurdles necessary to make this, but one thing's for sure, with a plot like that, I don't think we'll be seeing this one on the Disney Channel. Now, one thing that Disney can tell us is that a fifth Pirates of the Caribbean movie is being filmed and is set for release in 2014, as well as a new Muppets movie starring Ricky Gervais and Tina Fey. I'm starting to wonder, though, do pirates ever retire? This franchise seems to be... It's
only if the parrot dies.
Is that a yes?
No, if the parrot dies, by tradition, they have to put the parrot, the deceased parrot, in their hat and toss it out to sea facing west. So it goes to Davy Crockett. What's his name?
And that's the real parrot that actually plays
Davy
the parrot
Jones.
In the movie.
Davy Jones will take their soul.
Yeah, but even when Davy Jones takes their souls, the franchise keeps going. And I'm a little unsure about this one. I have a theory of the curse of more than three. I think when a really great fantasy or action movie has three movies, works really well.
The Mummy.
As soon as they start to push it
further. The Mummy.
You know, they're rebooting the whole entire... Trequel.
Oh, so they're remaking
of the
it.
Mummy? Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Doctor.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I just wondered if you all felt the same. It's time for that movie to... I mean, it's time for that franchise.
I haven't seen, like,
it's time to sink that
four.
Ship. Time
yeah,
to
exactly.
sink that ship.
Thank you. Great. That's puntastic. Nice. Well, and in case you missed it, the amazing Jodie Foster, star of numerous sci-fi, horror, and fantasy movies...
Contact?
Yes, thank you, including Silence of the Lambs, Contact, Nell, and Panic Room, officially come out at the recent Golden Globe ceremony where she was awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award. Her speech was incredibly touching and insightful. She used the award ceremony as a platform to talk about fame, sexuality, and privacy. She stated, "I already did my coming out about 1,000 years ago, back in the Stone Age.
The '70s.
Yeah. In those very quaint days when a fragile young girl would open up to trusted friends and family, co-workers, and then gradually, proudly, to everyone who knew her, to everyone she actually met. But now, apparently I'm told that every celebrity is expected to honour the details of their private life with a press conference, a fragrance, and a primetime reality TV show. We salute her for being the amazing, talented, and proud lesbian woman that she is." And finally, we come to the weird and the wonderful. Spoiler alert here for anyone listening who still hasn't seen Serenity. I'd be surprised if there's anyone out there who hasn't, who's listening to us. Well, except for people in the studio. Well, there's
Mitch.
A spoiler alert, Mitch.
Confession
sorry.
Time.
A newly converted Firefly fan, Kyle Hill, was so shocked and disappointed by the death of a fan favorite character, Wash, at the end of Serenity, that he decided to try and rewrite fictional history by proving that Wash's death was scientifically impossible. Now, most fans out there will remember the shocking scene when Wash was unceremoniously impaled by a Reaver harpoon, and most of them probably did no more than lament his death and maybe gripe about it online. But Hill, who is a research assistant with a degree in environmental engineering, used the power of maths and physics to prove that Wash's death was impossible. The full article, which has been published in an online journal, is titled "Saving Lives in Serenity: Can a Fanboy and Physics Change a Movie?" It's available online at Scientific American and Wired. Just Google either that or the article title and you'll find it. If his calculations are correct, this could mean yet another resurrection in the Weddenverse. Your move, Joss.
That man has a lot of time on his hands, obviously.
He does.
I think Joss is a bit too busy with, you know, resurrecting Coulson for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Could be.
How did that happen?
But...
What was his job? He was like...
Well, he has a degree in environmental engineering.
Oh, but did you hear that? He doesn't have a job.
Oh, Mitch.
Well, he may have a job. That No, he does. He's a research assistant. He has a job.
Maybe.
He assists people. He makes a coffee.
It's like, country in recession. What can we do? Figure out how that person didn't die.
Wash looked pretty dead to me.
He looked, I'd like to see, you can read the article, it was all mumbo jumbo to me, but I'd like to see how you can prove
and you're educated,
that one,
presumably.
Yeah, but not in the area of physics and maths, right?
But a fictional character.
You know, I'd like to know how you cannot be dead after getting a harpoon to the chest, straight through. true. I mean, come on.
But the writers can do what they want with the characters. You know, look at Walking Dead, everyone dies. And you can't say, like, no.
No, they don't, do they?
No, I mean, like, they kill off. They purposely make you close to a character just to kill them off.
It's no, of course, yeah. They can do whatever they want. But I'm saying, how can he prove that he wasn't actually scientifically
dead? But we shouldn't worry
dead?
About Firefly because, I mean, the whole series was killed off.
I know.
There's no reboots happening for that one.
You Where's don't physics know. When you need it?
Yeah. Physics reboot Firefly
well,
for
of course,
us.
That brings us to a David Bowie moment. Because you mentioned Vera Farmiga. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to be in the Psycho TV series.
The Bates Motel,
yeah,
yes,
the Bates
she
Motel,
is.
Sorry, Bates Motel. Now, Vera Farmiga, of course, is familiar. The Farmiga is familiar with Duncan Jones' Source Code. I don't know if anyone's seen that.
Yes.
With Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yep.
Well, we used to call him...
Now, when you say when you say familiar, what do you mean?
People might be familiar with her.
Oh, I thought you said she was familiar with Jake Gyllenhaal. And I'm like, yeah. Familiar? She's what does that mean?
She's familiar with Sonya. Didn't you hear her revelation? She's not saying no anymore.
Source Code is by Duncan Jones. We mentioned Davy Jones, but Duncan Jones, of course, is the son of someone called...
David Bowie.
Jones.
David Jones.
Well, yes, David Jones.
Oh, the
of
shop.
David Bowie. Of
no, and Moon. Mm.
And
was
Moon.
All, he also
oh,
did...
Moon is fantastic. Mm. I think I preferred Moon to Source Code. But anyway, we're here to talk about animals.
Animals. Yes.
Bad
animals.
Ones. But animals in, behaving badly.
I'm just going to... Now, all I have to say is...
Oh, I love that. It reminds me of home.
Why would I play that, Sonia?
Black sheep.
Mm.
Black sheep. It's slightly different from your normal animal films or animals that are in horror because these ones are zombified sheep.
I loved this movie.
It could only happen in New Zealand, and it did.
Let's play the trailer. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Miles from civilization.
I have a dream for the future.
A secret experiment has given birth to a new breed of fear.
Bloody animals.
Oh, my lord!
There's something wrong with the sheep. They attacked us.
Oh, nonsense.
What are you doing in here?
You wouldn't understand.
What's that noise?
Somebody's shearing.
Oh, God, no.
Get ready for the violence of the lamb.
The sheep are revolting.
Aren't they?
Oh, no.
Black sheep.
This is Iran Ngozi, creator of Guitar Hero, Rock Band, and Dance Central, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
And that is the soundtrack of Orca, also known as Orca the Killer Whale. In case you didn't know what an orca is, it is the Greek term, ancient Greek term for killer whale. And that's apparently what they do. Now, this was directed in 1977 by Michael Anderson. It's a Dino De Laurentiis production. He didn't often go into horror, but this is animals behaving badly tonight here on Sci-Fi and Squeam. And this particular mammal, the orca or killer whale, pretty much... It's one of those nasty. It's not Free Willy. Free Willy was nice. This orca was not nice.
And but he was free.
But in the 70s, I tell you, disaster movies were happening every second week. The box office was loaded with things like Inferno, Earthquake, you name it. Nature was fighting back. And then animals started to get really big. I think with Jaws, probably the biggest. Steven Spielberg's, not his debut, but certainly his debut into the world of the blockbuster that he did create afterwards, with kind of films like E.T., more family-friendly. Jaws wasn't family-friendly, neither was Orca. And just to say that the music of Orca was by Ennio Morricone, of course, the great composer for Sergio Leone films and spaghetti westerns. But enough about that.
Thinking of, like... that era of like apocalyptic
yeah the 70s
series.
Was crazy.
Empire of the Ants in 1977. It's kind of like a movie just about like about giant ants.
Well, the ants
that
have
attack.
Taken over the world
yeah.
at this point.
And the giant though.
It's radiation, I believe.
Yeah, nuclear. And yeah. It's just about ants against humans, mutated ants against humans.
Major big ones.
I think that's my favourite kind of animals gone bad insects? Horror movies. Well, not just insects, but any animal that's made abnormally large and suddenly they become vicious.
Giants, land of the giants.
Like all of the 1950s sci-fi classics like Tarantula and, you know.
Joan Collins.
Was it Attack of the Ants, the 50s one?
It's called Attack.
Attack, exclamation that's mark. Right.
It's a fantastic movie poster. If you get a chance, please look it up. We might put it on the Facebook perhaps a bit later. But even giant cats, massive cats, in the TV series from the 60s, Land of the Giants, and you see pussycats eating people. It's awesome.
Just thinking of cats attacking people, the only thing I could kind of think of like that just kept coming back to me is in Ghost, when she's getting changed, and then the cat just attacks that guy watching her. You know, it just goes nuts.
Oh, because it senses
the other ghost. And you know, the guy's like, I need to protect her. And
that's Patrick Swayze, the other guy.
I love Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
And and so it attacks the criminal, like cuts his face and stuff. The cat's like...
Cats don't often go bad. And Sonia, was it you who had a theory on this earlier? It was because they're too clever. They don't get caught.
Oh, they don't get caught. Yes, cats are sneaky.
They're
cats
too sneaky.
Do some terrible things. Succubus, they apparently are possessed with demons. And look, it goes back to the time of witch hunting when certain religious organisations decided that women with cats were dangerous.
Mm.
And during the time of when the second bubonic plague in the, 1400s, I think it was, in Europe, before that really spiked, why it caused such damage is because they started to kill all the cats. Domestic cats were rounded up, or stray cats, and were put on bonfires and killed along with their owners, usually women, single women with cats.
Mm-hmm. Also,
and the rats got out of control, hence the plague.
Thinking of rat movies.
Only
that'll
they
teach
had kept the cats.
Mm-hmm.
Rats, the night of terror.
Rats, you see?
After a nuclear holocaust in 2015, survivors are divided between two. Pretty much after the holocaust, rats start attacking people, There's the people who live underground and there's the rats who live above.
I've never seen that movie. Rats.
Rats. Night of the Terror.
Mm. I think that synopsis should have read, after all the cats were burned, rats started roaming the streets and eating everyone.
The following night, hundreds and hundreds of hungry, genetically mutated rats are ready to attack them one by one.
I love Willard. Who's seen Willard? That's animals and people behaving badly, because Willard is a lonely, introverted guy. He loses his job, spoiler, and Willard decided to... His best friends are actually rats.
Oh.
And when you have rats, you need a cat.
You need a cat. Don't burn your cat.
There is a great scene in Willard, which came out in 2003, starring one of my favourite cult heroes, one of my favourite cult actors, and that would be Crispin Glover, of course.
Crispin Glover. What an easy name to say. Glover.
You know, what's it? Marty McFly's dad. Back to the Future films.
You know, lately, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Lately.
There's a song called Lately.
McGlab.
No, Willard, you see, he's an introverted young man. He lives at home with his mother. There's echoes of Norman Bates and Psycho here.
Yes.
And, of course, he's sociopathic, naturally. Now, he has rats because rats understand him. And the rats, he gets them to do this. He gets them to tear them up.
They get him to do this.
Yeah, he gets them to tear people up that he doesn't like.
Rip them up like paper.
There's a great scene involving a ginger cat, which maybe is not such a great scene, but it's quite terrifying, actually, for the cat. Because it's like role reversal, you know?
Mm.
The rats get back at the cat.
Oh, that's Tom and Jerry.
Yeah,
but not as violent. Well, there you go. There's some of my favourite animals.
Also, thinking of cats as well, like, this is fresh in my memory. I was watching The Grudge, and, you know, every time someone's about to die, they see this little cat, or they hear a cat noise, or the little children make the cat noises. You
that's
know,
right.
Like, meow, 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 and then
Japanese culture, black cats are bad luck, and they used to remove them from the litters. That's all I would say.
Oh, really? And eat them.
No. Just remove them.
I actually like black cats. I think black cats are really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't find
them.
They
don't show the dirt. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They're cleaner. any other kind of...
Well, there
cat
was black.
Movies,
oh no, I don't have any other cat-related movies.
Oh yeah.
Well, apart from
except for Jonesy.
Yeah, I was just about
to say.
But
Jonesy
alien.
Wasn't behaving badly. He was just trying to warn everybody.
But at the end,
What do you mean at the end? What did he do wrong?
What happened to him at the end?
She doesn't know.
Oh, what? Yeah, I don't know what you're referring to.
And people can't see your hand motions of stabbing and death.
He becomes infected, does he not? Incubated.
Oh, does he?
No. Oh, sorry. You haven't seen the last.
The cat.
No, of course I have. I thought we were talking about the first one.
Oh, the first one. He's wonderful in the first one.
Yeah,
but then,
and he just goes. I was thinking, what? He just goes to sleep in the little sleepy chamber.
Did you see that segment where he actually explodes with an alien?
In which one?
The third one.
There's also Cat's Eye. I have a trailer for Cat's Eye if you'd like to hear
Drew Barrymore. She appeared in a couple of Stephen King adaptations, and this was one of them, Cat's Eye, from the 80s. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Stephen King, your favorite novelist and master of modern horror, has written his first motion picture screenplay. It combines all the elements of his creative imagination. Lovable pets. Classic cars. Quiet evenings. Favorite films.
Kill the son of a...
Good idea.
Adorable kids.
Help me! It's after me!
And, of course, a monster or two. Experience a series of electrifying adventures. As seen through Stephen King's Cat's Eye.
Where's your sense of humor?
Stephen King's Cat's Eye.
Stephen King's
Cat's Eye.
Cat's Eye.
Yeah, Cat's Eye. Love that. 1985, an American anthology horror film. So it's got all these clever little references to Stephen King films. Well, I'm not saying Stephen King films, but films based on him, his stuff, including you see the cat. It's all through the perspective of the cat's eyes. The different
it's got some
anthology
pretty good
stories
going on in there.
Yeah, and see the cat almost gets run over by Christine, the car, and the cat runs away from the rabid jaws of Cujo, the dog. Mm-hmm. That's also Stephen King, and so on and so on. And everywhere the cat goes, because it's on the run, terrible things. People try to do terrible things to it, and it comes across these, horrific stories that are happening throughout its journey. It's pretty interesting.
Why won't they
story.
Leave the cat alone?
Cute cat too, a little tabby. And of course, like I said, it's got Drew Barrymore and James Woods and the awesome Candy Clark.
And we also have quickly Planet of the Apes. You had that as down as one of your number one films.
I did. It's a favourite, probably my most recent favourite, not just because of sentimental value, but I actually think it was a really good, what would you call it, a sequel?
It was a prequel, I think.
A prequel.
Yeah,
sorry,
but it was, I agree. It was very good as
very
a prequel.
Moving. Mm. Of course, it has the wonderful Andy Serkis playing the main chimp, Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what happens to Caesar, if you haven't seen it, do go and take the trouble to watch it somehow, because it's a great film. I've seen all the 1970s film adaptations, the late 60s with Charlton Heston, but I really like this one with James Franco.
I liked it too, but Charlton Heston.
Get your hands off me, you dirty ape.
Something about him.
He says that in every single film. Planet of the Apes films. It's great. But of course...
And every other film that he's ever done.
Yeah. He just works it in.
Yeah. With a shotgun. But anyway, we'll move on from that.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
I'm John O'Jarrett, geeked out from the United States of America, sends much love to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, the best LGBTQ radio show in all of Australia.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Yes. Why are we playing that? It was the Chuck Berry version of...
You can never tell?
You don't seem sure.
You never can tell.
You never can tell the title of the song.
And it's from Pulp Fiction, the very famous or infamous scene of John Travolta in his comeback performance with Uma Thurman dancing away, doing some sort of version of the jive cross the twist.
Yeah, it was like a little jivey thing going
jive
on there.
Jive the twist.
There's always people watching them dance as well.
Well, they're hot, let's face it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. In the bars that they go to.
Why are we doing that? Why were we playing that? Why are we talking about those two iconic characters and actors? Because next week it's all about Tarantino, Quentin Tarantino, the video nerd that has well, expanded for sure and morphed into something much greater. We'll be doing a review of Django Unchained, and we've decided let's do Tarantino because we've never done it on the show.
I'm surprised, actually.
Never had time or something.
Tarantini.
What's your favourite, Emma? Dr. Emma?
Ooh, my favourite would be...
answer now.
ooh, is it Death Proof?
Ah, Death Proof.
Oh, Death Proof. That's yeah. About yeah. That
I love
show.
It. Girl empowerment. I love that one.
Girl power.
Yeah. Okay. I think yeah. I Mitch? Really did like Pulp Fiction, and that's why I chose
you
this
did?
One.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. They've got attitude.
I'm having trouble between Jackie Brown from 1997 with Pam Grier. I love the film, the soundtrack, the whole sensibility. But I'm also tossing out with Inglourious Basterds, the more recent one from 2009. Now, Christoph Waltz, of course, has just recently won Best Supporting Actor of Golden Globe. And he appears in Inglourious Basterds, but also the new one, which we're going to check out next week on the show, guys. So tune in then. Thanks, Mitch, for being here.
Thank you, ladies, Sonia and Emma. Thank you for all the listeners. And thank you for all the people that did message in. And thank you to the gentlemen, Steve and Leslie.
Leslie, yeah.
From Oz HorrorCon. And this is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
She was a vampire who could never see the light of day.
He was a zombie shuffling his way through the afterlife.
Love would bring them together.
But human flesh would tear them apart.
They were doomed to be on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Tuesday nights from 10 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.